Hey everyone, Terry from the Jeep Life Podcast here. I'm going to tell you about an awesome opportunity that our listeners have for a short limited time. Power Tank, as many of you know, I use Power Tank and so do several of our hosts. We love this product. We have partnered up with them to offer our listeners a discount. Use the code JeepLifePod15 at checkout to save 15% on new Power Tank systems. Those are packages only. One per customer is what they ask, but this is an awesome opportunity for our listeners to use a Power Tank, get a great system at a discount, and we'd love to see your Power Tank on your rig. Tag us on Instagram and let us know what you think. Hello, lifers, and welcome to the Jeep Life Podcast. We're a podcast that just loves being in that Jeep life, and we like sharing it with you, our listeners, and we want to hear about your Jeep life too, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But welcome back to the studio. I am Terry. I'm one of your hosts, and I'm joined tonight by, welcome back, guys.
Hey.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has.
I feel like it, as we saw each other, you know, out in the parking lot or driveway, as Bill reminds me, it's my driveway. I felt like it'd been a while, a hot minute since I had seen Dawn, and you know, a lot's happened in that hot minute. You know, and Bill and we got to see each other yesterday,
right? Yeah.
But it'd been a while. So
it was, you know? and in the same time, we walked down here, and it was. I said to Don, I was like, when was the last time I saw you? It was like, three weeks ago. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
then life just got crazy for everybody.
Real quick.
Yeah. It's funny because at first I was like, I kind of need a break, you know? And then tonight I'm like, let's go. I'm ready to record, you know?
Yeah. I was kind of feeling the same way. You know, I did the episode in the middle of the week last week with Scott.
Yeah.
But, and I love Scott. Scott and I are pretty close, and you know, I went out with him wheeling and everything, but to be honest, it wasn't the same. I was sitting here, camera was in front of me, but you know, I kept looking over to empty places, and I was like, oh man, this will be so much fun if the guys are here. But it was fun. It was a good time. You know, and it's good to be back in the saddle.
Agreed.
Again, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know that we've got a lot to talk about. We spent the last 20 minutes or so just catching up, but it's been actually a very active week from a Jeep standpoint for us.
Yeah.
So Friday, Don,
Friday Chris and I went to AOA, so we couldn't make the last trip with you and Scott, and I had the itch, and Chris and I just, I think we both needed a wheel and break, so I called him up, and you know, he was good, and we went out. We decided to go to AOA. We were left at 8:30, gassed up at the Wawa on 61, where we always and drove up and got the Jeeps ready and paid up. And then he grabbed some lunch from a local vendor up there selling food.
Yeah, they do a good job.
They do. Yep.
They have good breakfast sandwiches.
That's what he grabbed. Yeah.
Yep.
And we went out in a trail. The first thing we hit was, and he hadn't been on it yet, so we hit Trail 12. And I had my boys, so the boys wanted them to see some of the sights.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I wanted them to see that coal vein that shoots down through the mountain.
Yep.
And so we did we picked it up off the main trailhead and did it almost all the way down. We cut the one loop short, went back through Timbertown, got back. We ate lunch up at the overlook. And then we went down to the new connector that goes from 10 up to, connects a bunch of green trails. It's up the fire line.
Yeah.
Which was pretty exciting. That was pretty
gnarly.
Cool. It's steep. I mean, we were talking about that outside. It's probably one of the steepest climbs I've done yet.
Oh, wow.
And wheels, you know, wheels slipping, had some wheels slip. Chris was able to crawl. You know, he's got the limited slip.
Right,
and, geared a little bit better than I am. But, you know, he was able to crawl it. But I had my foot in it to get to the top. And,
in it to win it.
Yeah. We were talking about it. I'm sitting there and I'm starting to get wheels slip. And I'm like, so what's the plan, Don? Do we call it quits and try and back down and hope to God we don't end up sideways?
Right, because you end up sideways when you're backing down.
And that's
rolling,
a long
right?
roll. Yeah, man, that's an eighth mile hill, I think.
Yeah,
so I'm
you might get a power line to stop you.
Yeah, well, it's got steps, but I'm thinking I'm gonna end up
each
waiting.
Step is
yeah,
gonna be
yeah,
a roll.
That's the balance, you know? Yeah, so, you know, my plan was I just kept rolling in it harder and harder and get some wheel speed up and cutting a wheel to try and switch back it a little bit and finally broke the top of the hill. And so it was pretty extreme. And then we went down and we were going to do a black that we thought was Marnie Rubble, which ended up being like a double black. I think it was SOB was the name of the trail. And I'm looking at it. Yeah.
And I'm like, let's go.
Yeah,
you need to go find that.
Well, you know what? I mean, the bypass for it's like a blue, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
So we can wander down here. But it's you know, I said to Chris, I'm like, we're not gonna get out of here. It was about 2:30. I'm like, we're not gonna be out by 5:30, you know. So we did a bunch of blues down around there, and then we took off out of there. And my boys were done anyway. We were out by 4:00.
Yeah, they were. Right.
They had enough seat time in.
So. I hear you.
But it's amazing, you know, kids love the excitement. They love to be out there for the first hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then after that excitement level, it's, oh, didn't we just pass a tree just a minute ago? Look, it's another rock.
Well, they would get stoked, like on trail 12, where there's a couple, you know, declines and inclines. Sure. They'd be like, yeah, right. And then when we were on the connector, the new, you know, the fire line, you know, they're
like,
all
right.
My boys were like, get it down, get it, you know?
Right.
And so... but the rest of the time when you're cruising two obstacles or whatever, you're like, I'm ready to go.
But that's cool to take them. And, you know, I love taking my daughter out.
Yeah.
It's fun, but I have to kind of plan shorter days.
Yeah.
For those.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And that's kind of what this was. This wasn't an all day or, you know, and I knew that was going to happen. And originally Chris was going to take his son too. And it fell through, you know, he wasn't able to, but we had a really good time. I mean, Chris got out of there with one mark on his Jeep.
That's it.
One wheel rash, one small little spot that, trust me, he buffed it out, filled it in.
It's already perfect again.
Washed his Jeep before he got home.
I was going to say, he probably took, you know, a water system with him, and every time it would get a little dirty, he'd just clean it off.
I went over to his house at 10:30, and he's out in the garage, like, detailing the thing with, like, a silk cloth and a toothbrush, you know, so. I'm like, are you kidding me? Is it the same Jeep that was on the trail? You know, I mean, just pristine.
It's so funny, because we've gone out with him before. I mean, we've wheeled quite a bit with Chris. We love Chris. He's got that Freedom Edition.
Yeah, beautiful Jeep.
Which is a Sahara with some additional stuff.
I don't know if it is or not. I mean, I think it's loaded. It's
a Sahara with some additional.
Can you get leather in a Sport?
I don't think so.
Then it's a Sahara.
It's a Sahara with additional markings.
When he ordered it, he ordered it with the 373s and the limited slip.
Right.
You know, some of the other goodies. It had the real good Mopar rock sliders on it and the steel bumpers front and rear. Right. And, you know,
because I originally was looking at a Freedom Edition.
Right.
Red one, just like this one.
Right.
But I ended up going, for the amount of money, it was a better deal for me to go Sport.
Sport,
and then build it up.
Right.
Because mine, right now, it's still, I've paid less than I would for that, and it's way more capable. He babies that thing, and you know, it's almost comical how clean he tries to keep it while we're out.
Oscar Mike, that's right. Which goes, because I mean, he's a vet, you know, so that works.
It makes sense. Yeah. But it's a killer Jeep. I can't bust his chops too much.
Absolutely.
But he does keep that thing super clean.
And I
do. As a matter of fact, he had the magnetic
door skins.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Doesn't that, if you get dirt behind that, doesn't that scratch?
They were
up?
Off by the time. got home what? Off, I'm sure, buffed. I mean, oh, right. So Chris and I have been lifelong friends.
Right,
We wrestled together, and I mean, we were best friends in high school. Oh, yeah. And always did the car thing together, and I got into Jeeps, and he got into Jeeps, but for as long as we've been hanging out, like, his cars are meticulous. I used to be a lot more meticulous with my cars, but I still think I'm fairly meticulous. Never had a car. It's like, I hate when he comes over to my house because he's like, that's 30, you know? But
he should be like a car show judge.
Right.
Yeah, he'd
be good at that.
He has an eye for it. He really does. I mean, the guy can clean cars.
Well, he needs to get his ass over in my parking lot. Yeah, front.
Both of ours.
But it was great. I wish, we got the text to come join you, and I was like, man, if I'd had a day, notice I could wiggle my way out of some work. Yeah. Hope work isn't listening.
Yeah, it was like last minute.
It was very last minute.
Really, yeah. You're like, the night before, you're like...
It was like 9 o'clock at night.
Hey, anybody want to go wheeling tomorrow?
And normally, I'll jump all over it, but it was one of those things.
Plus, you were just out. You're still fixing the Jeep from the Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. Details. Add it to the list. I haven't actually fixed anything. Well, no, yeah. I take that back. I have fixed something on it.
Somewhat fixed the door.
Right. Well, after we recorded last week, I found out that my door hinge was twisted,
mangled, and bent. So it's still sitting in my garage.
Oh, is it? That's where I was. I looked through the Jeep upside down. I was like, where the... What did I do with this?
Yeah, you gave it to me, and I'm going to try to bend it back.
Right, so spare. I can have a spare.
Right.
That was fun, doing a trail repair in the orthodontist parking lot.
It worked.
Hey, yeah.
I love it. So yesterday...
Yes. We went to the Miller Keystone Blood Bank,
yeah.
In Bethlehem with the Jeep Club.
Yeah.
And we were able to donate some blood.
Yeah, so...
For those vampires out there.
Oh, yeah, no. they need it. They need it. So everybody out there, get off your ass, go donate some blood.
Absolutely.
They need it right now.
They really do.
So, but it was a good time. I think, give or take, there were probably 30, 35 Jeeps in and out.
In and out, yeah.
I have a favorite that I saw yesterday. What was your favorite that you saw yesterday?
There was a lot of cool Jeeps.
There were a ton of cool Jeeps.
That Comanche.
I knew that's where you were going to go with that.
So this like bright orange Comanche came in, drove in, and it all heads turned as this thing drove through. It was really clean. It just all stock parts except the paint job. It was like an aftermarket paint job, and just I think it was sweet.
It was beautiful. He was the original owner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all, like you said, all original, and it looked pretty much as if it drove off the lot.
That's probably worth some serious money, not right now. I'm not kidding you, because they're either rotted out or they're like on 44s, and cut up.
And it was one of those things where I was conflicted inside.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I can see where I can cut the fenders out of that. I can lift it up. I can do, all these things to it. And then the other part of me was like, dumbass, don't do that.
That's scary the way it is. I put that in a garage. I mean, I wouldn't even haul anything with it. I'd wax the bed. Yeah.
Wax the bed. Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite nice.
Sweet.
It was. Yeah. I mean, when you get up close to it, the interior was showing a little bit of age. I think the inside of one of the door panels.
I think it was an 86, 86. Yeah. Something around there. So, it's been around the block a couple times.
Yeah, for sure. But it sounded good when he was driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree. It was
a 2.8 liter.
Loved it. God. Dream ruined.
Is that an 8-cylinder?
No, it's a V6. It was a General Motorish V6.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
It was like, came from an AMC era. It was. Yeah. Wasn't a horrible engine. I just would rather
it had a little to it.
They were good. Yeah. They weren't bad.
Like a little, it sounded like a little bit of a cam in it or something.
It's like Frank Toady and the LS engines, LS is a really good engine until you talk. Doesn't like him.
He ruined so much. No, that's not true.
No,
he's
a
good dude.
He's awesome.
But it was an awesome time just to hang out with a bunch of Jeepers doing good things.
Right.
Gave
out some prizes, got some pizza, some breakfast goodies, hung out with some Jeepers we haven't seen in a little while. Yeah. Donated some blood.
Mm. Yeah, I got a hole in my arm still. Yep.
Same here.
But
and I detailed my Jeep in the parking lot.
You did. Yeah, it was.
It's kind of nice place to do it once in a while. You know, yeah, you just get the spray shine and.
Yeah,
well, we're there early enough. We've gotten the tent set up, and he's just going and doing it. Jeeps are coming in and backing in, and then you know, in true Bill fashion, props up the engine with a can of
like
cleaner.
Yeah, it was like the chemical guys, like synthetic quick shine, whatever it is.
So he could show off the engine bay, which looks great, dude. Looks really good. But
that's what happens when you spend like 3 months cleaning every nook and cranny and mud and piece of everything out of it.
And then not wheeling it.
So listen, you know what? Like my fenders had about 15 pounds of mud up between the upper fender and the liner. Yes. Like I kept power washing. It just kept coming out, coming out.
So funny story, Don. This is how long it's been. I comp cut the rear of the Cherokee.
Yeah.
So I got to show you this
picture. Oh, no, I saw it. You sent it to me.
Yeah, with the mud. Had literally like 40 pounds of mud.
It's an inch higher
dry
now
dirt.
In the back.
Yeah, yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah.
That stuff had to be like cement, too.
It literally came out in chunks.
Yeah.
And so,
you could build a foundation with it.
Absolutely, 100%.
Oh, it's crazy.
But that's where the mud sits up in those fenders. Events, go.
August 22nd, whole bunch of stuff going on locally. There is a Jeep crawl from Sly Fox in Wyomissing to Sly Fox in Pottstown, which is a microbrewery. I think they do micro distillery too.
Oh, really?
So
it's from one location to
the other. Really good beer. Sly Fox, I've heard the name.
Cool.
Because I work down that way. I hear
it
quite often. August 22nd, 2 p.m., location in Wyomissing. Check them out on Facebook.
Cool.
Another one coming up August 22nd. I may do this one. Riggs and Coffee at Lake Wanakamixon, 10 a.m.
Okay.
Sounds like a really good. Another one on August 22nd is the Wheel to Heal, the Suicide Prevention Awareness, August 22nd, 10 a.m., Faith Church in Orwigsburg. August 22nd, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. is the Cruisin' Dine Out Jeep Night and Music by Steel Creek at Polk Township Volunteer Fire
Company.
I was
looking at that one.
I might, depends, because Emily's going to be at a softball tournament, my daughter. And then we have...
The JEEP Club.
Trail Ride.
I was talking about the Mopar Madness on the 29th.
Okay, I didn't pull that one.
Okay.
It's a South Mall.
South Mall, Mopar Madness Night, JEEP, which is the Jeep Enthusiast Feast here in Pennsylvania, is invading the Mopar Madness Night with all of our Jeeps.
Okay.
So that is, it's going to be a cool event to get all the Jeeps. We're probably going to park in the back and kind of be the...
Awesome.
The black sheep of the Mopar
bouncers.
Family.
We could be the bouncers.
Yeah, we could be the bouncers.
Yeah.
So that's that on the 29th, if you're not doing anything.
I think I'm in for that.
I might be coming back from Wheeling. I don't know. Depends if Puddles is in one piece. I'm going with guys from work, so I don't know how that's going to translate. It
depends what guys from work you're going with.
What else you got?
We have the Jeep Trail Ride coming up.
That's
so
going to be
September
huge.
19th.
Yep. There's going to be a caravan leaving from the Wawa and Chance Road at 7 a.m.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And going up to AOAA. I know there's a lot of people looking forward to this and talking about it.
We're looking at like 100 Jeeps.
Yeah, or more. So we're going to need to split groups up.
Hey
yeah.
guys, anybody out there that if, you know, you're listening to the podcast and you want to be a trail guide or a trail gunner, I'm actually organizing the event, so please reach out to the Jeep Enthusiast of Eastern Pennsylvania on our Facebook page. Just send a personal message, and the message will get to me personally, and I will be able to kind of get in contact and set up some details and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're going to need some trail guides for that because I know it's going to be...
And also there's the camping. We usually camp out.
Oh, yeah, the night before. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
It's going to be a good time.
Well, that's why I think I'm staying up there that weekend.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. But I think I'm going to have the family, so
Okay.
Avoid your campsite after about 8 o'clock. But anyway,
we'll rope it off.
Yeah, caution tape. And then we have, let's see, September 11th and 12th is the fourth annual Jeepers Back to Blue. And that's at Dover Racetrack. There are no more racetrack passes, but you can still go in and attend the event. They got vendors, all kinds of stuff that's going cool. on. We have...
That's a lot of events.
Yeah, well, then the two events that I have left that are East Coast events... Jay Juice, there is the wait list is still open for Green Briar in West Virginia, October 22nd. So if you want to go to a Jeep Jamboree event, you can throw your name in the wait list. And like I got called for the main wait list, and of course I missed the email. I was on like one of my benders and not checking email.
Yeah.
You only have 24 hours to respond.
All right.
So they do get back to you. And the other one that's still available to get the wait list open is North Carolina Jeep Jamboree.
Is that Uari?
6 Uari.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great little place.
Yep. So that as well. And then the last thing.
I want to go.
Yeah.
Uari. Yeah. I want to do one of them.
I want to do the 36 hours Uari.
Speaking of
I gotta sleep.
Long wheeling trips. If you haven't checked it out yet.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 2, Lex Rocks and Rollovers, 24 Hours Hell and Back, was released last night.
Oh, wow.
And you got, I mean, listen, Marvin Stanall is a genius, and this is an all-star cast.
We call it wheeling porn in our world.
Oh, my God. It's insane. Yeah. So, you know, check it out, guys.
Check it out. Got some new stuff this week because I had to order stuff.
Yeah, because you broke stuff.
Because I broke stuff. But I did get two things that weren't related to the break.
Right. You got some new and improved
I got some
aspects of your Jeep that's going to be helping with posting to our social media for our rides and all kinds of other fun jazz.
Yeah. So I did get the ram mount.
Right.
Which both of you saw, and I got a claw, and it is on the
oh shit bar.
Yeah. The grab handle in the front, and then a 6-inch
extension arm.
Extension arm. Yeah, thank you. And then I got the tab tight for it, so it expands and puts the iPad, because I wanted an iPad as my map and guidance and music controller versus my phone, so that I could actually use my phone
to go live and
do those sort of things and use it as a camera as well, so that I wouldn't have to get out of maps, do that. So now I can leave the maps running and I can track my where we go.
Yeah,
and so it.
Yeah, it is nice to not have to get out of Maprika. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Staying there, constantly run it. You know.
Yeah.
And lay track. It was nice.
And man, that thing is really nice the way it mounts. I put it in yesterday. I've been driving it all day yesterday and today with it, and it. I mean, it has a little bit of a vibration to it, but nothing I can't handle.
Right.
And being able to see.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting old. I'm not young.
I hear you. I'm running the same. Chris and I kept pulling over. I'm like, Chris, hold on a second.
On,
I'd have to, you know, I'm doing this on my phone. And yeah, I'm kind of thinking the same thing. You know?
Mounting that iPad mini in there and I pull up my Maprika and it.
So I'm in between though. I'm going to throw a wrench in this whole conversation.
Well, you're young.
Right. But I was thinking about just going with the Alpine system and then I can run it all through my phone.
Will the Alpine run to Maprika?
Yeah.
Will it?
Oh, it does.
So is that like
full GPS? It does screen mirroring.
If you had Apple AirPlay, would it run? Can the Apple AirPlay mirror?
I don't think it will
mirror Maprika.
I don't think it'll mirror Maprika. Huh.
Well, how does what's the name use it then?
Who?
MJK uses it.
I don't know.
On his
does he?
I think so.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not sure. But yeah.
But
so
yeah.
I was thinking about that. And that's another reason why I was looking at the Alpine system is because I can run Maprika right through
it. Extra $3,200 sitting around.
Yeah, well, that's the kicker right there. I'm $65 all in.
Right, but you also bought an iPad to go along with it.
I bought the iPad for other reasons, but
I would just be buying an iPad for that reason.
Sure. So one of the things that I have been thinking about was just doing the iPad to control my whole audio and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can do that as well.
You can.
And I might go that route. Yeah. I mean, you can even use like iHeartRadio for radio stations. Yeah.
Right.
And stuff.
Right. And that's all my audio period comes through my phone.
Right. Same here.
Prior to
right,
that.
Right.
So now everything's coming through my iPad because I got the cellular version. So
right,
it's just,
right.
You know, Pandora, Apple
yeah,
Music,
so, I mean,
whatever.
They have the center stack, you know, they got a thing where you just slide the iPad right in there,
right.
You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's what I'll do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking more towards Big Red when I'm off-roading with puddles, so
right.
That doesn't really work.
Right.
Sorry.
Actually, let me clarify right. that first. I have to go back to work and start collecting paychecks.
I was
going to
say,
then,
we got to get the monies coming in.
Yes.
Yeah, the monies have to come in.
Yeah.
And so far, I really like that RAM mount. That I'm not sure that I got the right one because there's space above and below for, it looks like, wider
right.
devices. But as far as being able to hold it secure, it doesn't matter. It works really, really well. So.
Well, absolutely. I have a RAM mount for my phone that mounts to my vector bar,
yeah.
and that thing is absolutely great.
Yeah,
I don't even notice vibration in it.
Yeah,
and I usually run maps on it if I'm driving somewhere in Big Red and kind of going around.
Yeah,
never have an issue.
That's perfect. Yeah, it's I'm blown away with it. It does move a little bit when I hit a bump.
But everything's going to do.
But everything's going to...
My phone and the RAM mount, windshield mount does that.
Right.
I mean, it just...
But it doesn't go anywhere. I can't move, physically move. Mm. When I have
when you tighten
down,
it.
Now, when I was in it today,
I
that
can't
was the first
physically
thing I was
move.
Trying to...
Yeah. I can't physically move it. So...
RAM mount is good stuff. I you know, I swear by their stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's... I'm sold on it right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens when I... Put the Jeep on the rock, but
yeah,
you know,
we'll see.
I think it's good. The next thing I ordered and got was a new recovery kit because last Sunday I had to do a little recovery,
which is going to translate into our main topic too.
Yes, it will nicely.
Yeah.
So I did order the Quadratec recovery kit.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically $100 on their website. When I unpacked it, was it you that said we should unpack it on the show?
No, Don said that.
Oh, Don.
Yeah.
To quote
me, I said, let's tape that shit back up. And
exactly what you did. Let's tape that shit back up and so we can do it on the show. I got it.
You were a kid in a candy store and ripped the box apart and it's like, I can tape up 100 pieces.
Yeah. It really felt like quality stuff.
I can tell you it is.
It's true. I have two complaints, but I'm going to hold those off for a second. And I haven't used them out in the wild.
Okay.
So this is purely my being, you know,
So I have one of these Quadratec kits.
You do,
kits
and
as
you've
well.
Used it out in the wild.
Oh, I've used it a lot out
right?
in the wild.
Right.
So I want to hear your thoughts about it, and I will give my thoughts.
Absolutely.
About it.
So when I open it up, It's obviously got a tree saver in it. It's got a very nice recovery strap in it so that you've got a decent amount of length so you can
mm-hmm.
tow a rig out with it if need be.
Puddles.
The snatch block is solid. It's heavy. 20,000 pounds. And the shackles that are in it, it's good to have
three
shackles.
They're 3/4-inch D-rings.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, that's what you want.
Yeah, they're the big, heavy-duty D-rings.
Yeah, the only one that they make bigger than that are the 7/8, but they're so massive.
They do make it an inch.
Yeah, and what is it? Like, it doesn't,
inch
it doesn't
is like
fit
the
in, like,
size of my head.
That's for, like, military, those
right,
6x6s.
And those big dump trucks that are parked
absolutely.
On.
But yeah, but they do make an inch.
Yeah. So it just felt solid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those things where it's a store-branded, and I kind of was... Yeah, do I want to? But it was $100 versus, you know,
$400.
Yeah,
or whatever.
For ARB stuff, and
which and also you don't get a whole kit from ARB. You got to pick their, you got to get a recovery strap, then you got to get their.
No, they have a whole kit.
They do?
Yeah, I had one at the Tech Day. It's really nice.
It's really super nice.
It's expensive.
It is. Right. But, you know, it's one of those things where if that was my job to off-road all the time, and that's something I do, and I did, you know, 10 recoveries.
I think that's what Scott has.
At a time.
It is an ARB. Yeah.
We used it. It's great. Yeah.
I almost didn't give the one back. I was just going to buy the one that we used for Tech Day, but I just, honestly, I don't use them enough to warrant that kind of cost.
If I used it, you know, 5 times a year, I could justify it.
Right.
But if I'm going to use it twice a year, you know, or, you know, once a year, then I can't justify spending that kind of money for it. And for the dollar to dollar, I felt like I got a good deal on this, you know, reputation be damned or whatever, you know, using an actual Quadratec branded something. I thought it was a good deal. When I opened it up, I felt I didn't feel like I was opening up anything cheap. I felt like I was opening something that was going to get me out of a jam or get my friend out of a jam whenever I needed it.
Right. And I ordered one 16 years ago from Quadratec when I built my PJ. And so now, by now, the only original parts that I have, I mean, the D-rings didn't wear out. I lost them.
They were stolen.
Actually, both straps. I just replaced the strap last year, but I had the strap up until last year. The tree saver I'd wore out a while ago.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I got a couple years of use.
Sure,
And you're saying wore out? Like that means like
I used
got
it to
your
put,
money's worth.
And it's I told you I didn't. It's not all from wheeling. I'm not going to BS anybody. A lot of it was from pulling bushes out.
Right.
And, you know.
No,
right
but you
house.
Used it.
Yeah. Big time. You know, but a lot of it was that, and it wore out. I had nothing broke, nothing. It just started fraying, and, you know, it was good stuff. And I don't know that if I had bought ARB that it would have lasted any longer, you know. And the only thing my kit didn't have that I wish it would have been the weight for, you know, take the energy out. Right. But I usually just throw, you know, like a jacket or something over it, which isn't as good, but. Yeah. Better than not.
Well, this one does have the.
Oh, does it have the weighted mat?
It
nice.
It does have the.
Has a weight bag in it. Yep. Has a set of gloves.
Yep. And, you know, the gloves.
That's right. I remember.
Somebody warned me the gloves weren't going to be that great. The gloves, I felt like they were thick. They felt good. They wouldn't fit me because of these big mitts, right?
Yeah. Bare hands.
So they are now my daughter's work gloves. When she's working on the Jeep.
Right.
But and I used them the other day to rip out, like you say, rip out bushes.
Yeah, right? And like, I know.
Just do stuff around the yard and this and that. Like, I was like, oh, I need a pair of gloves. Wait, oh, there's a set.
Yep.
You can never have too many in the, you know.
No, that's it. So I'm going to get another set.
You know what else
set.
They work good for? When you take your end links off. Put one glove on this side, one glove on that side, and throw it in the back so it doesn't get greasy. You know?
There you go. Yeah. So it gets the inside of it greasy. So when you put your hands in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. No, you just don't wear those gloves to pair your loan out.
Right. There you
give
go.
Give them
to
somebody
go.
Else.
Yeah.
So I open it up. It's in the Jeep. It's ready to go. I'm ready to go with it.
All right. So here's my thoughts.
I want your thoughts, and then I'm going to give my cons to it. All right.
It's a great kit for anybody that's getting into wheeling.
Yep.
Personally, I got it. I won it at the Miller Keystone last year, the blood drive last year. And literally the next weekend I used it because I went off-roading with my idiotic buddies. But you know what? Like, it's one of those kits that, you know, it's $100. You don't mind getting it. And with my idiotic buddies, something happens and it gets left at AOAA for, let's see, 6 months.
Yeah.
A strap gets left here. A strap gets left there. Somebody grabs a strap.
It's a good point.
It's a kit that you don't, you care and it's nice to have, but at the same time, if somebody steals that strap off you,
if you loan it, like if you loan it to somebody to pull somebody out, and you don't see it for 6 months,
you don't care.
Or ever again. That's a good point. Never really thought about that.
You could replace that individual component, right?
Where I have a Factor 55 tree saver, that's a $90 tree saver,
right?
That I haven't seen to date.
Oh no.
So I'm like, yeah, I want that back. But you know what? The Quadratech tree saver, I would have been like, eh. Yeah, oh, well.
Whatever. Right, exactly. Because yeah. your it's tree saver was the cost of my...
And exactly. I was actually thinking about... Okay. I got into Mac... Is it... I got notes here. Maxpol.
Yeah.
I got into their... That's what I want to... We'll talk about it later, but that's... You know, I kind of got into their stuff lately, and that's what, you know, I want to get a set of Maxpol. Like, I want to... I just bought all new tow lines and tree savers. Mm-hmm. But I was looking at this Maxpol stuff, but I mean, their stuff is expensive. Right.
Mm. It's like Bubba ropes too.
Yeah. Well, that's what Brian Sterner was just saying. Bubba ropes stuff's expensive. Now the Max line or Maxpol, I have a reason why. We'll talk about it again a little bit later that I got into this stuff. But yeah, I never really thought about that. I mean, I don't know how, over the years how much, you know, I know my Quadratech stuff I had till I wore out, but I've bought stuff off Amazon and loaned it out and never saw it again. We've used it at the school to pull cars around, and it disappeared. You know,
it gets misplaced too. Like,
that's a really good point, Billy.
And you drag it through all kinds of mud, grit, grime, that, and the other thing.
Yep.
And you know what? You don't care. But that Factor 55 stuff—it's really expensive.
It is. Yeah.
Which, you know, I guess that kind of leads right into my con of the kit. I have two major cons. The first is
it's all yellow.
It's all yellow. Right, and it kind of bothers me that the webbing for the actual strap and for the recovery strap, it's all yellow, and then all the connecting parts is all yellow.
When so you need some kind of contrast.
You can't tell what is what just looking at right. And then you have to fill it. All right, so it would look better and I think more professional, and you know, be a little more. I don't want to say throwaway item. If it was yellow and black or yellow in something,
right?
You know, yellow and red or, you know, some kind of...
Understandable.
So that would be my first... and I feel like I would take care of it better from an ownership standpoint if it was that two-toned and looked a little bit more rather than just a Harbor Freight looking... Right.
Well, I can say that it is a grade above Harbor Freight because I have a Harbor Freight tow strap, a 30-foot, and then I think in the Quadratech they give you a 20-foot tow strap. So I have a 30, a 20, a 10. I mean, this bag is grown.
Right, sure.
It doesn't fit in the bag anymore.
But it doesn't look any different than the Harbor Freight.
No, it does. They do look different.
But it's still both yellow.
They're both yellow, right, but I'm saying like through. If you look at like the web, the cross stitching and the webbing and everything like that, there is a difference.
I want to be able to look at it when it's sitting 10 feet away from me and go
10 feet and 10 miles an hour.
There's my Quadratech one, right? So I want it to look a little bit different. I will clean it and take a little bit more care of it.
Right.
If that other part accent color is different, and it's not an accent, it's actual purpose for having it.
Yeah.
The other complaint I have is that bag.
The bag is awful. It's not that
great. I almost didn't get it because of the bag.
Well, they cheaped out on the bag. They kind of went a little higher quality on everything else and then cheaped out on the bag.
Charged me $5 more and get me a better bag.
Okay.
I don't keep any of my stuff in a bag. So mine's in that coopy hole under the... Oh, yeah. I get everything. Everything fits in there except for I keep my remote up in the center console.
Right. Yep.
For the winch, and then when I go wheeling, what I do just so I have everything ready, because it's like pet peeve of mine when you know somebody's stuck and you're like, hey, do you got your you need a D-ring and I need your tow rope. It's in the back under the cool. It's in the back under the cooler and all the tool bag.
right.
They're in 4 feet of water and like pet peeve. So I always get my stuff out and I stick it under one of the seats, you know, so I can reach and grab it. And
Another reason why I need a bag is to be able to quickly grab that and set it up there.
Right, and that's the only downside to not having a bag. Yeah. You know, I just kind of, when I go out, I shove everything under, usually I put it under the passenger or driver rear seat. So I can reach back and, grab it.
So that bag is, in my opinion, garbage.
Right.
When I ordered it, I thought, you know what, that'll be something I can throw my power tank
extra stuff
hose in and inflator.
Did you get a 30-foot hose for that yet?
No, not yet. I might. That's still on the
Right.
Do I or don't I?
Right, right.
Thing. But that bag is awful. So I did order a Warn backpack recovery bag.
Oh, no kidding. That backpack
one? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where that bag is not cheap. The backpack's
not cheap.
I might
have to look at that.
But if you have to haul your recovery gear up
you're climbing a rock or something,
whatever.
Sure.
I want it to be hands-free, and with that Quadratec, it's definitely
that
not
is
hands-free.
A great idea.
Throw in a backpack.
That's why Warren's the leader.
And carry it up. Our friend Eric.
We'll talk about that later too.
Was the one.
I'll argue that one
that got me into that. He was like, "Dude, you need to look at the Warren one. That's the one I use, and here's the reason why." And it was exactly right. I'm not stable climbing up rocks.
I'm not either.
Nobody is. And I have bifocals, and you know, I mean, just every strike is against me. Gravity and me, we are mortal enemies.
Yeah.
So I need both of my hands free, and if I'm carrying something, that's not a good thing. So
I
can't wait to get that and ditch that Quadratec bag.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I want to go back to how you say that you get all your stuff ready.
Yes.
Like when you go out on the trail. I actually keep a toe strap underneath the driver's seat in puddles with a D-ring already attached to the one side.
Yep.
And then in the back, I usually have, you know, the milk crate, and then I have my toolbox, and then I have the Quadratec bag, and then I had the air tank.
Yeah.
So everything's really, nothing's on top.
Right.
Well, there is one thing on top. It's those fancy little pad things that I use when I lay in the parking lot
to fix puddles. Yeah.
Right.
But no.
You know it's going to break. He needs to be able to lay down on something.
Absolutely. But in puddles, I can reach back and grab it. It's close enough. So absolutely.
I've been out on a trail. I don't know how many times people are like, I can't find my remote. They're looking all over, and you're in a pinch. They're ready to, you know. They need to be recovered quick, and you know, they're looking for, you're already excited, you got anxiety, you know, you can't find before you go out, get everything organized, you know, and know where it's at. So that way, if you're teetering on three wheels and ready to roll over, and you got to get a winch line on there for somebody to hold it from going over, you're ready to go. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Throw it in free spool, pull it out, hook it up and go.
So I love the kit. The Quadratec kit. And I can't.
Minus the bag. Okay.
And you know, if I was designing it myself, I would change the color of the grippy part of it. Just like all the others have all the brand names have differentiating colors at that part. I would do the same.
Mm.
Yeah. So we'll link to that and the ram mount stuff that I have
and the ram mount that I have, I'll throw up a link.
We'll throw the links to that. Good stuff.
And ram mounts were actually designed way back when for the military.
Yes.
Yes.
For out in the desert, running these devices out in the desert, and they're on Humvees and this and that. They're mounted to the floor. They're mounted to different bars. So they are designed to be abused.
Yep.
They're awesome, and you can tell.
Absolutely awesome.
When you hold it in your hand, you can tell that it's.
And even with the phone, they give you this little spider web thing that keeps it from dropping. Not even dropping, but to hold it centered.
Right.
Like actually, when you bring it over top of each side of your phone,
centers it.
It centers it and it holds it there too, better, and reduces vibration.
So, and to boot, when you release them, a lot of people drop them out of the cradles, holds them in.
Keeps it in.
Yeah.
Accidents happen.
Yeah.
Well, because of the recovery and because of me going into this, let's talk about our main topic.
This is going to get broken into two.
Listen, guys.
I think it might.
If I disappear, start digging in Terry's backyard.
winches.
Yes.
And one of the reasons why we discovered and, well, discussed what we wanted to do with this is we all have different winches on the front of our Jeeps.
I have two.
You have two?
Three. I have three winches right now.
But only one of them is attached to a Jeep.
No, two are attached.
No,
the
Warren's off.
Oh, is it?
The Warren's off in Big Red. It's currently sitting in a bubble bath of much-needed parts cleaner.
Yes. Yeah, so but we all have different winches, and I would say that they're the three industry standards right now. Ish.
So,
funny you should say that, because I was doing some my three go-to winches. Mm-hmm. I have three go-to winches. Obviously, Warn. Yeah, I just bought correct. My. I love Warn. I have my first one.
Yeah.
Smittybilt.
Yep.
And Super Winch. Those are my three go-to.
Okay.
I really don't run, and I haven't run, and I don't recommend anything else.
Well, I'm going to throw a bone in that.
I would consider it. Go ahead.
So there's the Quadratec winch.
Which I think the new one's
the
new
Stealth.
Yes, is a nice one.
The Stealth Quadratec winch. They have a 10,000 and a 12,000.
Yep.
So that's an amazing winch. Absolutely love it. It's great. From what I've used so far, I've taken them apart. I've worked on them, this, that, and the other thing. I know a lot about them. Also, I'm in the processes of taking apart a Warren M8000S, so it's a synthetic winch.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go into this more in depth later about the difference between synthetic and a cable wired winch, but there's actually some key features that I want to put out there to people to say,
yes.
Don't throw a synthetic line on a cabled winch.
Well, you can, and some of
you
them.
Can.
Like my Warn, and that's why I bought my Warn. I didn't really have the money for the synthetic. And the big thing for me was, I don't want to run Warn synthetic line. I want to run Max Pull synthetic line on it. So some of them you can. Super Winch, you cannot.
No.
Well, not all of them, but like their Tiger Shark series. The drums will collapse. The rope will actually, that's why you can't do it. The ropes cinch around the drums and the drums will collapse.
And also there's another reason is because the brake system that they use in them.
Yep.
So it comes down to if they use a friction brake or a cone.
Is it heat?
Friction
is
brake.
That,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
So if you have a friction brake in a
and I think the Tiger
winch,
Sharks do. They have
a
friction.
And that's what they do. So what happens is that friction winch.
Right.
The braking system, it will heat up so much, it'll actually melt the synthetic line around. I mean, it won't melt the like, you know, the second layer of
The first layer on
first
there.
Layer, but as soon as you start pulling on it, it's going to start digging in, and that's when it starts becoming kind of a soup on your winch, and you're like, oh, geez, what can I do with this?
When I was buying my... I have a Smittybilt X2O, or X20, depending on how you read it.
Yeah.
The reason I bought it is because I couldn't afford getting a synthetic line, but the X2Os and their XRCs, their high end, are built. And they reduce the braking temperature by 66%.
So that's why
you can use
cone brake.
Right.
So what it does is they have basically two cones.
A synchronizer and a transmission.
Yeah. And they just sit in each other, and then as you use
it,
it releases it, and then as it stops being, kind of comes to a halt, it basically just shoves.
The new Quadratec one has a cone in it because you can get
a cone,
synthetic. Right. And that was a key feature that I agree with you. You want to make sure you can run both steel or synthetic in it.
And it's I didn't want an either or situation.
Yeah.
I wanted to have the choice as maybe I could afford a synthetic line
down the road.
Or if, you know, I wanted to go to synthetic, that I had that choice.
Right.
And right now I'm running steel cable.
Right.
On mine.
We're going to be changing it to synthetic.
But you know what? In all honesty, you know, there's nothing wrong with
steel cable.
No. There really isn't. The only downside, and really you have issues with synthetic as well, and it is when, so what happens is if you wrap that, you know when you get them in a wrap really neatly?
Yep.
They tell you not to do that. No, you actually should kind of be a mess. And is the easiest way to put it.
I win. Mine's a fucking mess.
And what happens is water goes in and it can't get out. And it sits in the bottom layers and then you get rot and stuff like that. And you're going to have that problem with synthetic anyway. You know what I mean? If you have it wrapped pipe, it's not going to drain out right. So, I don't have a problem with steel. I really don't. I've always had steel lines. I've never had an issue where I've had to replace them. They're durable. The only downside is they carry a lot of kinetic energy if they let loose.
They do.
You know?
That for me, it's the safety aspect of it.
Right.
With steel, but you know, if you do it right, you're fine.
Right.
If you practice less likely of having some sort of accident.
Right. And if you take care of it too. I mean, if you're, you know, if you don't have a wire sticking out or something of the
You got to check them. But I've never had to replace one.
Yeah.
Never.
Because you took care of it.
Yeah.
So you have the Warn.
The Warn. So it's a Warn VR Evo. It's their new generation VR, which is their lower line. But honestly, for as much as I use it, you know, I'm wasting my money on something else higher. Yeah. Always wanted a Warn. I got that.
It's fully waterproof. Is it?
It's the IP68 rating on it.
Ingress protection 6.8, which is a whole list of criteria that it needs to pass.
The contactors,
dust,
all that.
Water. I can tell you what it is. I know.
So, you know, the idea is eventually I'll probably end up putting a Max Pull XR line on it, 8mm, 100-foot, and I'll use a Factor 55, the Pro Link. That's what I like, and that's what I want to run on there, and I'll be done with it. But another option that I really, really like is that remote has both wireless and wired capability, because too many times I've heard guys whine about using wireless and the things, you know, it'll turn on and off or to get it out and the battery's dead, you know, and so you can just plug. This one has a 10-foot cord you can plug in if you have to. Like, I really dig that flexibility.
Yep.
And the other part of it was a low amp draw. So my super winches were pigs. That was the main reason that my fridge is the main reason why I put a second battery in the other Jeep. Because it would literally, even with the PTO pickup on the trail dash or in a super chip, so you could bring the RPM up to, I think the max was what, 2 grand?
Right.
Even with that up all the way, if I ran a full 90 foot in that line, the battery light was on till I was done. Under load. So this Warn is about 300 amps under max load, which is fairly low.
Right. Yeah. And that's all right in the rating of the motor.
Right.
That's on them.
Right.
So there's a lot of different ways that they make these winches. And some of the ways is that they'll change the planetary gear sets in the gearing side. So they'll use the same motor. So like the X2O, they'll have the same rating motor.
Yep. It's a 6.6 horsepower.
Right, 6.6.
Right.
But they'll get the new capacities out of changing the planetary gear set.
Right.
So they'll have
you end up with a slow line, though.
Right, so you get a slow line. So that's why, like, a 10,000 versus a 16,000, they're going to have the same motor, but your line speed is so much faster on the 10,000 because
Warns typically are... This one's not super fast. This isn't as fast as, like, the Xeon and stuff and some other competitive winches, but it's not bad.
Right, so they're putting in the Xenons. They're putting high capacity motors with low capacity with a smaller planetary gear set.
Right.
So they're putting a lot of amperage and power through that motor, and they're not going to have to do as much work.
Yeah, with the X2O and the XRC, there's a 3-stage planetary gear. So depending on where you are in your line, it will actually change gearing so that the speed stays the same no matter how far out you
are,
because the drum will
it changes the ratio for one, like the further down you get, the ratio actually changes, and you know, usually what you're getting is the advertised weight is the max, so that changes as you're pulling wire in and out.
And usually, now correct me if I'm wrong, because you're way the expert on this, but the strongest part is about 3 or 4 or 5 runs out of the drum, not when you first pull it out, you know, not the first couple of turns, but as you get into it, it's
so
where the gearing is stronger. And
you always want to have at least one layer.
They say 5 wraps. Warn does anyway.
Right.
Okay.
So
five wraps. 5 wraps is probably half the drum.
Yeah, right.
So half the drum. Right. I personally would say, in studying winches and this whole concept, I would have at least one
full
layer
wrap
of drum.
So Max Pull says 12 feet. Max Pull on their lines.
Right, so 12 feet
is probably one wrap on that drum.
On that drum. And what happens is as you start pulling, it's going to translate that force into the drum and cinch that rope onto the drum.
Right.
And they even say with synthetic line, you shouldn't even need to put that screw in on the side.
It'll keep on there just from cinching down.
Just from cinching down on itself. Right. You should be able to put your winch on. You like kind of slightly hold it on there as you're getting those first couple wraps. And then you load it up to 1,000 pounds of pull force on that drum. And then you start loading it as you put it all on. And they said you should be able to take out that screw easily.
Well, you know, so here's something interesting. This is why I really dig these new Max pulls. And I know a couple times I've had to pull synthetic line.
Mm-hmm.
It gets like bound up. It pulls so tight. It pulls it in between the other.
It like fingers in it.
Yes. And so Max pull actually puts a sleeve on their line that keeps it from doing that.
Right.
Which is really cool. And plus they have the last 12 foot is a different color. So, you know, when you're at the end of the, you know, they tell you not to pull too much into that, that zone, but that's another downside too. And you know what? It's not just synthetic. Honestly, I've gotten a point where I've bound my, you know, my cable up already too. Sure. So,
well, that comes to the big difference between steel and synthetic is I feel like you have to care for synthetic a little bit more.
You do.
Because it's more susceptible to UV.
Yeah.
But it's also dirt. If you get dirt in there,
dirt, water,
and then
water.
You finger, you know, cinch it down, that's just grinding dirt down there and breaking fibers.
Yeah.
And that's not good because
I've seen a cable come back. Where
so have I.
It's cinched together like that.
Yeah.
And that's not supposed to happen.
No.
I've in all honesty, I mean, we've had to, you know, I've had them on my super winch where I've had to not free spool, but I've had to back the winch off with the vehicle weight on it, you know, to pull it out.
Yeah.
We'll get bound up too.
And you definitely want to care for that no matter what line you have. But it's synthetic. For me, when the switch over, I definitely want to put a cover on it because I want to keep it out of the sun. Yeah. I don't have a recessed bumper.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sit down in there for protection. So I'm going to have to take a little bit more care about it. But you know, I think if you're going to spend the money on recovery and getting a winch, I don't think that's one of the places you should cheap out on.
No.
And the Stealth, the Warn, the Smitty Belt, those are definitely not the cheaper.
If you're buying a winch, you're looking at easily nothing less than $400.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it.
Well, and that's I was going to say that. I would not do nothing. I'm not knocking them. But here's the deal. Like, and I guess we can get into it next time. We'll get into some winch safety next time.
Yeah.
But you know.
Here's your homework for this week. Ready, everybody? Go on YouTube and look up how to properly winch.
Yeah. You'd be surprised.
And I'm not talking about Joe Schmo in his backyard teaching you how to winch.
Or
I'm
pick up your winch. I mean, they have a lot of good stuff within. Like, when I got my Warn winch, first thing I did was grab the
instruction manual.
Yeah.
They direct you to their website to,
to look
teach
how to.
You.
Right. So, you know, I'm going to fully disclose this. Amy bought it for an early birthday present for me. I didn't really buy it.
Well, we all need that.
I'm a kept man.
I need that.
She's so good to you.
She is.
I need that.
So anyway, I picked up that manual and I read through that. And there's a lot of things that I'd forgotten about.
Yeah.
You know, there were new things that I'd learned. Like Warn actually tells you, I always hear 1.5 times the weight of the vehicle, 2 times the weight of the vehicle. Warn actually has a specific number, 1.78 times the weight of the vehicle is what they recommend.
Right.
Minimum.
Right,
you know,
right.
To winch. And you know, another thing that people always do is they use that snatch block to double up pulling power.
Right.
You can run it back to second line back to the vehicle, and then you're going from 10,000 pounds to 20,000 pounds. But you have a planetary gear set in there that's going to break. And especially when you're using cheaper winches, that's where they're saving money is in parts like planetary gears, know?
They're using regular steel gears instead of chromoly gears.
Or forged, like, the cast components instead of forged components. Not that mine has, you know, not for that price, but there's definitely a difference in...
And the quality of electronics that are in them as well.
That's a big deal with like the contactors and stuff like
contactors
that.
Contactors. The new thing for winches is wireless remotes.
Yep.
It's awesome. It's cool. Yeah, it's nice. You just grab the remote out of your
center console
and just press the button and go.
Yeah.
So there's a couple things on this, and that's where it translates into the style of remote that you have too, is because there's like three different frequencies you can use out there. There's 315 hertz, which is a standard kind of communication line that you don't have to pair a device.
Right.
It's you just turn it on, turn it on, and it's good to go.
And I think that's what mine is.
And that's what Warren uses a lot of. And also Smittybilt does it too, but also there's some downfalls in that as well, is that I could have my own remote and I could be within, you know, 10 feet. Yeah, right.
There's no frequency.
Right. There's frequency that I'm running on. There's no pairing. And then there's 2.5 hertz or something like that, or 215 hertz. And that is where you need an actual pairing. So that's what the Stealth Winch uses by Quadratech. Right. They use a pairing system.
Then I can't screw with you.
You can't screw with me. Right, I can't screw with you. But you physically have to pair those devices together so they learn each other. And that also translates into, you know, the quality of electronics in that device. Warren uses absolutely highest quality, you know, parts and stuff like that. So, I mean, I've taken apart their VR, Xenon, whatever. You know, the top of their line. You put that remote in your hand and you're like, holy crap, this is quality. And it gives you an LCD screen and you can control the lights stuff, off of it.
Temperatures.
They give you
your temperatures.
Line out, this, that. Yeah. And you can only get so accurate with the amount of line this and that. But you know, the Stealth, it was going after that Warren.
And is it for the money? Shitload of features.
Yep.
I mean, it's got a drum light on it that you can see.
Yes.
It's the little things that are really nice, and it's all high quality parts. They use aluminum housings, which is really nice because it cuts down on weight.
Was another reason. That's it. So the Warren is mine's on aluminum, and I like that. Right. It was 56 pounds. I mean, my Super Winch was like 90 pounds on my old. So
my Smittybilt's 99.
Yeah.
Right. And I took a Badlands, which is a Harbor Freight version.
Yep.
Off the front of Puddles.
Yeah.
That thing is like 900 pounds.
I know.
Yeah. And I put on a Quadratech Stealth, you know, the synthetic, nice. And I'm like, oh. This is really nice to sit here and put on the front because it's really light.
So that Quadratech winch was number two on my, like, I kept flipping back and forth between that and a Warren.
Right.
And the only reason that I want the Warren really option-wise was, well, no option difference. I just always wanted a Warren. I never had one.
I have one.
I know.
So I have a contractor series of the Warren.
Okay.
So my Warren is more or less rated for the front of, like, somebody's job site truck. But it works just as well.
Right.
Unless you completely sink it in mud and grime and grit and it doesn't work anymore, because that's what I did. But you know what? They're so
I don't think that one you had, they are, and there's parts all over.
And it's not waterproof.
Yours wasn't an IP68.
Right. Yep. But there's parts everywhere. Warrens are great. They're easy to service. Literally 8 bolts and the whole entire gear set's off.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's easy to go through this, that, and the other thing. So, you know, quality standard, it's Warren. And then I would absolutely put the Quadratech Stealth behind the Warren.
Yeah.
And then the Smittybilt. The only thing that I don't like about the Smittybilt is some safety features.
Mm.
Because, so, when you turn the Smittybilt on, which there's a toggle switch on the side to to use the wireless feature on it. There's no timeout. Like timed set amount of time that winch is going to turn off in.
It's on or it's off. Yep.
Wirelessly.
Yep.
So that means only the remote has that turn off feature. So if you're jostling around in your vehicle, you hit the power button.
Right.
Your winch can start up on the front of your vehicle driving down the road or something like that.
So, I've heard stories where they'll pull, you know, the fair lanes into them or the.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I've seen fair leads that are bent in half, broken half, bumpers bent in
half. Well, I've seen people, people, I mean, the contactors stick or, you know, the remote stick and then the winch doesn't quit. It just goes for it, you know, and that's kind of scary.
It's max load. I
have yet to use it.
They pull themselves apart. I had it almost happen on, we have a Super Winch. I bought one for the school trailer, the car trailer. And 2 years ago, it stuck. And man, I mean, it just goes. Yeah, it just started pulling itself apart. Now, luckily for that, there was enough clearance underneath it that the hook went underneath, and then came up around. And then it just bent the one bar and then by then I was able to kill the battery power. Yeah. But I mean, old pair. So really good point. Make sure you got good electronics.
And that's the other thing is that the next weak link in this whole winch system is your battery.
Yep.
So it'll actually, I've seen them melt batteries.
Oh, they 300 because amps.
It'll pull itself in and then it'll stick. And it, when we say stick, it means that the solenoid on top, it actually,
the contacts
stick
release,
together. They don't release.
It's a solenoid and it sometimes
gets... And then it heats up so much that it'll heat up on the coil of the actual motor, and then that'll all translate because it's so much draw back to your motor. And I've seen it melt batteries.
So let me ask you this. Now, does the QuadraTech winch come with a circuit breaker?
Circuit breaker inside of it?
No, in the, like, you know, to you can, like, put on the battery, or does it have a circuit breaker and a solenoid box?
No, it does not.
Why does Warn not either? Like, Super Winch does.
Yeah.
I don't know about Smitty Built.
You mean like a fusible link or something?
No,
like
they come with the circuit breaker bank. So when I put my Super Winch on, it had three circuit breakers. Each was 100 amps or something like that in series. It'd be series. But anyway.
Can you turn them off?
No, but if it draws too much, it opens up.
Okay.
Until it cools down, and then it automatically closes again, and then you can use the winch.
Right.
But why would you not? I mean, if you have a cable, I was thinking about this when I installed my Warn, and I didn't have time to do the homework.
Going straight from there to the battery.
So if that cable rubs through somewhere, I've got a dead short. You know, you've ever seen O-gauge cable light up on fire? I mean, it'll burn a vehicle to the ground.
Yeah.
Why would you not put some kind of resetting circuit breaker?
I use my rad fan to cut my Badlands
coil.
wiring amp. Like... I don't know, and that's a good. That's a very good question. I can try to figure that out.
Yeah, I was curious about that. Like, I'm wondering, do I need to buy one, or is there something that, you know, so even if, and I'm sure, like, maybe QuadraTech and Warn, maybe they have some kind of circuit breaker in them internally in the contactor, you know, in a solenoid pack, but what happens if you rub that line through? I mean, that line is just moving around. It's, you know. I mean, you're dead short.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a great.
Well, I mean, if you dead short it before that.
Well, that's why you put this. That's what I'm saying. That's why I liked Super Winch. You got that circuit breaker. Literally
talking on the wire, though.
It was on the battery terminal to the wire, and then the wire went to. So anywhere that shorts out in front of there, I mean, it literally can short anywhere in that cable, and it's going to trip circuit breakers.
Right.
You know, I was wiring up the Warn. I'm looking for the, you know, I'm like, where the hell is the circuit breaker?
Yeah, mine goes straight from the solenoid to the battery.
Most of them do.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Interesting. So that, you know, we've got it started with this, and we'll keep going. I think winch safety is probably going to be, you know,
that could be
maybe episode
topic.
Three or something of this series. But we wanted to get started and get that talking because I think winching is.
So we got three winches
needed,
really
right?
that we're talking about.
Yeah,
right.
We can even throw in a fourth. We can throw in the Badlands and that can be our. I don't even know what you want to call it.
Our control.
Control group.
You know that standard winch that you throw on the trailer. That's what a Badlands is good for.
Right.
You throw it on your trailer and you use it to pull up the car or whatever that's not going to start.
Right.
Great grandfather's, you know, barn.
Right.
You know, so that's your baseline. And now we're getting into true recovery winches that are used to get you out of that pinch.
Yep. So stay tuned. We're going to rock this for a while.
Yeah.
We have a video ready to come out for winches, and we're going to do the winch fun video where we're going to just drag stuff all around Billy's yard and see which one works best.
Wait, no, not my yard. No, absolutely. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
And then we're going to get a video of me getting stuck somewhere.
Using his winch.
Using my winch. Yeah.
I love it. Let's get Billy stuck.
Why not?
Absolutely.
Just don't break anything.
And so we do have a Jeep of the Week, but
we do.
Do we want to throw this in now, or let's
sit on it till next week?
Let's put it in next week, and I'll put it in
because there's a lot of
the
history
agenda.
To this Jeep that I want to include. With
All right,
it,
cool.
Because there's been a lot of people involved in the project.
It's a black sheep.
Give it its due.
Yeah.
Right? But this Jeep is sweet. Like, yeah. Yeah. if it's an animal. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it.
I love it.
There's some history to this thing. So I want to make sure we have time to talk about that.
Where can we be found?
Absolutely. Jeez, I was waiting for this one.
It's that time.
So, you know, everybody, I want you to head over to our YouTube channel. We're getting a lot more traction on our YouTube channel. We're getting a lot more videos released. So head over, type in the search bar, Jeep Life Podcast, hit that subscribe and like button, and you're going to get the most up to date with our latest videos that are coming out. You're actually going to get an email. It's going to help you send directly over to our YouTube channel to see our latest videos and stuff like that. Off-roading, our driveway mechanic, Mr. Frank. He's sometimes our guest on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I haven't seen you. He was on the last. Yeah.
No, you didn't see Don. He was on. Yeah.
That's right.
And also head over to our Instagram page, Jeep Life Pod. And that's JEEPLIFEPOD.
The pod.
It's all one word. And then also we have our Facebook page, which is you're going to get the most absolute up-to-date, you know, us going live out on trails and this and that. And that's the Jeep Life Podcast. So make sure you head over to all of our social media. You're going to stay most up-to-date with the podcast and all of our adventures.
Yeah. And you know what? Send us your Jeep of the Week. Send us your question. So until next time, hit all of our social medias, send them info@jeeplifepodcast.com, and we'll see you later. Here's a big Jeep wave for you.
Absolutely.
They do a great job with that production. I mean, we've talked about that before. It's really amazing.
The amount of planning that goes into it.
How many like video guys they have up there?
Well, that's I mean it's what floors me. I mean, they're setting up lighting before they get there. They've got their cameras and their guys set up.
It's a predetermined trail.
Oh, sure it is. Oh, he's got it. That's what I said. But that's what I said. The amount of planning and that goes into that.
Right.
It's phenomenal by far.
And they pre-wheel it and they go out. And they know these areas too.
Well, I don't know how well, you know, the guys that he had wheeling there. Now, right. I know Marvin.
He'll go out.
Marvin looked at
it.
Right.
Yeah. Look,
right.
See where
he,
the good
I
obstacles
think he rode
are.
It with somebody from the park.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, by far, my opinion, best YouTube channel for wheeling, not overlanding, but for wheeling by far. I would say it was Way of Life. Now I definitely say he's taking it to a whole new level.
Oh, all right. Well, but we're all winners if that's the case, right? Those are your two guys.
Yeah, right.
They do it right.
Yeah, they do.
And number three on that is the
Jeep Life Podcast.
Right?
Absolutely.
Coming hard and fast.
Yeah, look out, guys. Check your rearview mirror.
Head over, see our latest wheeling videos that we did release. There's some pretty good ones out there.
As we shoot them in our iPhones tripping around.
Trail 107, Trail 108. We had a little bit of Trail 162.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Good times.